Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
Let them know. Say they don't know, but we gonna let them know. Say they don't know, but we gonna let them know. Say they don't know. Oh, we about to let them know. Let's check it. But let me reintroduce you to this lion straight from Judah. One of the 12 tribes all gather, all rise as we gather around the wall, the coolers, as we discuss the Exodus and all the things that Edom still doing to us there. Jacob still say it's the land of the beautiful. But here, over 20 years, no knowledge for me to grow. This heart's food, the kids crying. And every time I look in the paper, all I see is Babylon keeps so downsizing. Man, I'm not a new game, new strategy. So I have all my co-workers getting mad at me. Found wisdom, knowledge, and integrity. Try to get my people asked, but all they do is laugh at me. They just little lambs getting led to the slaughter while the wicked stay hungry, stay placing their orders up. Gotta leave the job before it's set. It's on fire, cause when y'all requires it, be y'all desire. So, my hat, my clothes, my dough, they know. But so, see, new cars, new frames, no belt, whole white chin chain, but now who's this? Who's that? Bus cat, cell crack, who rap, but see my hat, my clothes, my dough, they know, but so see. Okay, boxes attack. I've just been hiring guys to employ it too. We know the Sodom and Gomorrah. See, it's the land of idolatry. Wickedness and prayers in 2 weeks. You notice that I ain't here. They try to convince me and say that the job will get better. Whatever, my king provides for me through any endeavor. Took my stony heart and it changes for me. And so everybody try to take one sign of some weakness. They feel calm on. Say, you ain't gonna do that. Give him a couple months and he'll be right back. See, y'all don't argue with the fool. See, my demeanor strictly cool. Maybe you'll understand if you just follow by the rules. It's a boring nation, the reason you stuck in the same station. Praise Almighty Yah. Watch that wicked star decaying. But it's coming from me. So you know they go ignore it. It doesn't matter what they done. Meet our floor because my hat, my clothes, my dough, they know. But so see. New cars, new frames, no belt, no watch, chin chain, but now who's this, who's that, bus jack, cell crack, who raps, but see my hat, my clothes, my dough, they know, but so see, see they don't know, see they don't know, but who, see they don't know, see they don't know, but who, see they don't know, see they don't know, but who? See they don't know, see they don't know, but who? Not to the east, not to the east, we say. Not to the west, not to the west, we say. Not to the north, not to the north, we say. and to the south, and to the south, we say, but we gonna let them know, we gonna let them know that. Hallelujah.
I know that's right. The whole ungovernment.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Live free.
Come on.
Fourth tribe.
100 centuries.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's go.
Take a look at my soul. Nothing left but these holes. They tried to take me down, but Yah is in control. So now I ask you, you suddenly black too. The oppressor ain't fed when he attacked. You started war because they tried to tax you. You should be asking who they was taxing. Not what prices on our backs. And the IRS wanted in on the back end. Thinking we'll never down for emancipation. Just good political relations to try to make a good case for the next election. Yet Jim Crow came right back in the year certified with his government seal. Probably tried to stand him with zeal. Sadly, he thought that Jesus was real. They gave us the fake news and education to keep us concealed.
Take a look at my soul.
Take a look.
All I wanna do is go.
I wanna go.
There's nothing left of me.
There's nothing left
of this horrid slavery.
Uh-huh.
400 centuries.
400 years.
There's nothing left for you to hold.
There's nothing left.
All I want to be.
All I wanna be.
With my eyes and
every 400 centuries. Of this horrid slavery. But Yah, he is the king, and he will save me. So now I ask you, will you drop to your knees and beg Yah, please? Don't you know that Yah is coming? It's like tomorrow. I can even tell you the time on your Audemars. Just guard your heart, baby ball, baby doll, don't cry. Paparazzi never cared about them tears. No way, just spend my Yah all day resting him, just like the song say. I'm waiting for the day that he sit on the throne. Till then I'm stuck in my zone, staying focused on the day money finally takes us home. Till then I'm prophesying to the dry bones. Till the day that I'm gone, and Yah reveal what he has shown. That Yahweh is Elohim, is him, and not alone, none else.
Take a look at my soul.
Take a look.
All I wanna do is go.
I wanna go.
There's nothing left of me.
There's nothing left
of this horrid slavery.
Slavery.
400 centuries.
400 years.
There's nothing left for you to hold.
There's nothing left.
All I want to be.
All I wanna
be. Is my eye
free. Free.
All I want to be.
All I want to be.
My life live free.
Free.
All I want to be.
All I want to be.
With my life live free.
Free.
All I want to be.
All I want to be.
My life live free.
Free.
All I want to be.
All I want to be.
With my life live free.
Free.
Live free.
Yeah. Take a look at my soul. All I want to do is go. There's nothing left of me of this horrid slavery. 400 centuries. Nothing left for you to hold. All I want to be is with my God and live free. All I want to be is with my God and live free.
Hallelujah.
future.
Coke my and then A and die off in might. Counsel to fear ya and adore his light. These are the spirits we need in our life. To walk uprightly, be pleasing his sight. All we seen was the terror and pestilence. All we need is Yahweh, deliverance. We need wisdom to shine like the seven suns. Understanding that Yahweh's the only one. You was lied to about the begotten son. We destroyed like in knowledge. So all I ask for is the spirit of Yah. So all I breathe is the spirit of Yah. So all they see is the spirit of hate. And on my plea is the empty eyes gazing as they grieve. See his words take shape. So plain to see that Yahweh is great.
All I need, Yah's all I need. Your Ruach Kodesh, my Yah, I must confess, my Yah, is all I need.
All I need
is the spirit of Yahweh.
All I see
is the spirit of Yahweh.
All I breathe is the spirit of Yahweh.
All I am is the spirit of Yahweh.
Trust in my Yahweh with all of your heart. Keep his commandments from evil depart. Give Yah his praise with some rise that they start. Keep all his paths, Yahweh, light up the dark. All I yearn for is the spirit of Yah. All I long for is the spirit of Yah. Too long we've been disappeared from my Yah. Not the tale of my Yah. Find the way of my Yah. Find the fail of my Yah. Do we care for our Yah? The fountain of living waters. Why you think you're trying all the oceans? Why you keep choosing presidents and keep voting? Worshipping in the man and who you hoping? He got his hand around your neck. He cashing in. You keep choking. Like blind at noonday, you keep groping. I beg for the day, Yah's judgment's overflowing. Yah got me harmless.
All I need, Yah's all I need.
All I pray,
Yah's
spirit of Yahweh.
All I need,
Yah's spirit of Yahweh. All I need, spirit of
Yahweh. All I need,
all I need,
Yah's spirit of
Yahweh.
All I see,
Yah's spirit of Yahweh.
All I breathe,
spirit of Yahweh.
All I need, spirit of Yahweh.
Kokma and Ben A and Da'af and might. Counsel to fear Yah and adore his light. These are the spirits we need in our life. To walk uprightly, be pleased in his sight. Trust in my Yahweh with all of your heart. Keep his commandments from evil depart. Give Yah his praise when some rise that they start. Keep all his paths, Yahweh, light up the dark. Blessed is the man that walks not with Rasha. No goes in the way of the sinners. No sits in the seat of the scorners. Return unto Yah, I'm trying to warn ya. All I need, Yah's all I need. The Ruach Kodesh, my Yah, I must confess, my Yah, is all I need. Yah's all I need. The Ruach Kodesh, my Yah, I must confess, my Yah, is all I need.
All I need,
your spirit of Yahweh.
All I breathe,
your spirit of Yahweh.
All I see,
spirit of Yahweh.
All I need, spirit of Yahweh.
Yeah, Yahweh, he's all I need. Praise Yah. Hallelujah.
When you're down and you're hurt and you can't go, dust yourself, run on off so you can grow. Know the struggle is real as the wind blows. It is Yah that's the start for the long road. When you're down and you're hurt and you can't go, dust yourself, run on off so you can grow. Know the struggle is real as the wind blows. It is Yah that's the start for the long road.
Yeah. I've been lost, I've been found, and I'm still searching. I was rose from the dust, but I'm not low yet. I was looking for Yah when I found purpose. No adversity's real as our atonement. I'ma live by the word that Yah spoken. Every law, every statute, commandment. He has sent his word, and there's no light in. Won't confirm or discern what mess it sent. Up and down, round and round, we in gross darkness. Depart from our heart, seek righteousness. For the meek, never weak. In the city seek peace, the King David, the one that will gather Yah's sheep. So prepare, we in snares don't care, all we know that Yahweh is there. So prepare, We in snares don't care. All we know that Yahweh is there. So prepare. We in snares don't care. All we know that Yahweh is there. So prepare. We in snares don't care. All we know that Yahweh is there.
When you're down and you're hurt and you can't go, touch yourself right on off so you can glow. Know the struggle is real as the wind blows. It is Yah that's the staff for the long road. When you're down and you're hurt and you can't go, touch yourself right on off so you can glow. Know the struggle is real as the wind blows. It is Yah that's the staff for the long road. When you're down and you're hurt and you can't go, touch yourself right on off so you can glow. Know the struggle is real as the wind blows. It is Yah that's the staff for the long road. When you're down and you're hurt and you can't go, touch yourself right on off so you can glow. Know the struggle is real as the wind blows. It is Yah that's the staff for the long road.
Israel, return back. Cause when we exit from Babylon, there's no reason for us to fall flat. As we did, to go back up in the land that Yahweh promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. We gon' get brought through the furnace so we can become the metal that never folds. The young and old will rest their souls to know that Yahweh is Elohim, the light is sown for the right. Bringing the saints back together to be a pillar to know that we all right. Praise Yah all day, all night, so.
When you're down and you're hurt and you can't go, touch yourself right on off so you can glow. Know the struggle is real as the wind blows. It is Yah that's
praise the mighty Yah. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Praise the mighty Yah. It's beautiful singing by Yah's gates. Hallelujah. And Yah's blessings. Hallelujah. And we're about to continue on with beautiful teachings on this holy Shabbat day. In our midst, we have a beautiful brother, teacher of the Word of the Most High, who hails from the house of Israel here in Cincinnati. I've known this brother for before he was gray-headed. He's my brother, passionate messenger of Yahweh to bring you some beautiful words of truth. Our brother, Minister Morey Michael. Hallelujah.
Praise the mighty Yah. May stand for just a moment to say a prayer before we get started.
Praise the mighty Yah. Glory and praise belongeth unto you, King, for without you, Yah, we are nothing. Bless you, bless your kingdom, bless be your people. Thank you, Yah, for all that you do for us, because without you, we are nothing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
All right. Praise the mighty Yah. I am Minister Michael. That is all that I am. I'm a minister. That's it. And what I wanted to discuss today was marriage. I want to talk about marriage. I stand before you an imperfect individual. I am a man that have erred. I have not been perfect in my walk with the Creator. And it is an honor and a privilege to be amongst great brothers, such as my brother here. This is my blood brother here. And then my extended brothers who are great husbands. Thank you, brother. Great examples of being husbands. This message is probably nothing new, but it's some things that I would like to go over that helped me. And I wish that as I was coming up, because I married young, I wasn't established at the time. The last thing you want to do as a man is walk into something as holy as marriage and not have nothing to offer. As a man, when you get married, and this is for those that are newly maybe looking, establish yourself. Establish yourself. Because if you're struggling taking care of you, how can you expect to take care of a family? And what makes a man? Does it make a man who yells the loudest or who hits the hardest? Nah. A man is what King David told his son before he went the way of all fathers. This is what makes you a man, doing the will of the Almighty. In Israel, it's too many divorces. It's too many of our daughters crying. It's too many of our brothers not being men. So today we're going to talk about that. And I have a question to open up with. Because my brother taught a powerful lesson this morning. I do listen. And the point that he brought out was magnifying Yah. So we're going to magnify Yah today. Let's look past how you may see me or may have heard about me. And let's accept the word of the Almighty. You don't have to be perfect to teach his word perfectly. I don't profess perfection, but I do profess the fact that the Almighty is still working with me. But let me ask this question. King Solomon said something that was really profound. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. You know, I've been teaching for a while. I started out with the youth and then started teaching the congregation, and I still get nervous. Because when you're teaching Yah's people, you got to come correct. Am I right? Praise the mighty Yah. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, in the 16th verse, it says, be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Is it possible to be over righteous? Is it possible to be over righteous? Yahweh didn't say that. That was Solomon. Yahweh gave Solomon the wisdom. But is it possible to be over-righteous? It does. But let me ask this question. What does the word righteous mean? So it's possible to do too much of the law if righteousness is the law. I asked this question to some people for us to think about, especially when it comes to our relationships and our marriages. We invite, you know, I studied this scripture, and I've yet to see a testimony where a man was punished for being too righteous. I've seen where a man was punished for being wicked. And in order to be over righteous, you know what the Almighty calls that? Zeal. being zealous. Now, I ask that question because in our marriages, we invite a lot of outside entities in. And once we do that, that's what destroys or can just begin to destroy the foundation of a home. Let's look at, turn to the book of, we're still in Ecclesiastes. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, please. Ask that question because a lot of times when you become married, the things you did as a single individual can't do a lot of. And sometimes outer influences don't understand that fact. So what they'll do is they'll make you feel that you done changed or that you ain't down no more. And they'll say you doing the most. You being over righteous. And the next time that that's said, ask an individual, show me a testimony where a person was punished for being too righteous. That's the one thing that y'all don't get tired of, is being righteous. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, it reads, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he is fallen, for he has not another to help him up. 11 says again, if two lie together, then they have heat. Now, I don't know about some brothers who say, I don't need a woman. I say, well, you on your own with that one. Because as long as I have Yah and a beautiful queen next to me, I'm good. I'm good. And it says in verse 11 again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Now, someone being facetious might say, just get more covers. Put on extra clothes. But it ain't the same, brothers. It's not the same. In verse 12, it says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, what's that threefold cord? Yah, you and your wife. Sometimes in marriages, Yah comes to the ceremony, but he's not always welcome in the life of the marriage. Sometimes what happens is we bring Yah to the ceremony, and then once the ceremony is over, we take the Most High and we put him in a box with the beautiful wedding pictures and stick them in the closet. And we bring Yah back out when the marriage is going through turmoil, when there's an issue. And let me say this for those that are getting married or considering it. Please, let me explain. Marriage takes work. You're going to have problems. I'll be lying if I said it's going to be roses and daisies. You're going to wake up. You might look at your mate and be like, dang, what? You might look at her and be like, why? It happens. But then that's when you seek Yah. And you recycle that relationship. That's why Some may believe that having premarital relations before marriage don't save the longevity of a marriage. But you don't do it for the longevity. You do it because y'all wants you to do it. That's why. Because here's the thing, and I saw wisdom in that. When you don't incorporate physical intimacy, you have so much more to build off of when that physical intimacy is no longer there or wanted. You remember them walks in the park that you had hand in hand. You remember how that summer breeze touched the softness of her skin. You will remember that to hold on to, because sometimes just love is not enough to keep a marriage strong. And without Yah, it's doomed to fail. Without Yah and having people in your business, keep people out your house. You tell them, go drink water out your own cistern. Stay out of my house. Every time you come home, somebody ain't in your business. And then you tell your mate that what's going on in this house is between me, you, and the Creator. Because if y'all can't do nothing for you, then who else can? Let's look at some more scriptures here. I'm not going to be up here too long. But there are a few things, a few characteristics that I wish that I had meditated on. Because I have been married twice, divorced twice. And I say that, and I'm ashamed of it. But I said it because it happened. And I know how judgmental and wicked Israel can be, and merciless. They will let you know how wicked you are. Well, let me tell you before you start throwing darts that I did, and I'm ashamed of it. But here's the thing. I wrote down a few ideas, a few things that I meditated on in this, how to choose a mate, first of all. How do you choose your mate? Do you choose them by how they look? Do you choose, do you choose them by their financial status? Do you choose them by that? Because money, just like looks, fade over time. Scriptures say that just like money, money grow wings and fly away. Yeah, you don't need no mutt ducks. It's cool, but the thing is looks fade. And then the next thing you know, we introducing, my wife shared a story with me, a couple had been married for how long, babe? Oh, Lord, have me, y'all. 77 years. Man found out that his wife had an indiscretion in the marriage. It was in 1940, and he divorced her. 77 years. And he just now divorced her. Now, listen to me now. You might as well ride it out. It's over. It's over. Let it go. She's been good to you up to this point. And that's the one thing that we got to understand, too, is that when we get closer to Yah, we understand what good is. And see, a lot of us don't really know what true goodness is, because everything we touch, everything that we're around is superficial. And then when we get real love, we don't know how to handle it, because we're not accustomed to having real love. We are accustomed to superficial. Look at the size of her backside. We measure a woman being good. I hear a lot of brothers say that. Man, that's wifey. Why? Man, you see her body? Yeah, but can she even cook? Is the sister even going to be good to your children? Is she, first and foremost, is the woman going to be willing to humble herself to the Creator?
is she? Because if looks was all that, we wouldn't have plastic surgeons. So, how to choose your mate? Now, this is something for, are you both willing to do this? Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. In the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to be going through a lot of scripture, so let's get our fingers moving. Because I know that I learned a long time ago that documentation beats conversation. And I know that the teachers in here give documentation. So I'm not going to be no different. But in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5, let's look at the 29th verse. It says, "Oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Now, what was the point of me reading that? The point of me reading that is, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to surrender to Yah? See, a lot of us think you don't want to say surrender to Yah. Because that, how many of us believe that Yah is good? Hallelujah. So what's the problem with surrendering to him then? Why would you not want to surrender to something good? Hell, we surrender to evil every day. But when it comes to surrendering to Yah, are you willing to do that? Are you willing as the man to realize that it don't take, see, I don't have to do this to show you that I'm a man. You can just, masculinity and being a man exudes off of men. I don't have to, if I got to tell you, that means I'm trying to overcompensate for something. I must not have confidence in myself. If every time, I'm the man, you do this, I'm the man. If I got to tell you that I'm the man and it's an obvious fact, then there's a problem within your mind. I learned from my elder years ago that a man don't have to tell you he a man. You know he a man when you walk in that room. You know he a man when he is walking the room in silence. That's a man. Because he don't have to show it. You know a man is a man by how he walks with Yah. Watch his family. If you watch him and he come in and his children running all over the place, jumping on elders and kicking people in the face and fighting in cars and knocking furniture over, then there's a problem. And I learned from my elder that if there's a problem in your home, it's your fault as the man. Even if the woman initiates it, it's your fault. Some men be like, it ain't my fault. It was on her. Yeah, but you the head of that household. Yah put you in charge of that house. It's just like a business. If you're not producing, if your business is in the red more than it is in the black, sidebar, that's the only positive thing about being black in this world is dealing with money. When you're in the black, you up there. But if you run this business and the business isn't flourishing like it should, who do they come to? No, they don't go. So they don't go to Tasha, who always late to work, right? They don't go to John, who always taking long extended breaks, which takes away from his productivity, right? No, they come to you, the CEO. And they say, if you don't fix this, we'll find someone who will and get rid of everybody. Well, what does any good CEO do? Just like any good captain of a ship. Does the captain of the ship sit at home and wait for his wife to come home because she works too, to cook? Oh, y'all, you sitting there on the couch with the kids and with the children in your drawers just waiting for her to come in. And y'all just sitting there. And she come in like, you didn't fix them, doctor? We're like, we was waiting for you. That's your job. That's your job. Misogynistic. No, a good captain takes over. You see the dishes need to be done, you do them. Your wife come in, she tired. Baby, what can I do for you? What can we do together? It shouldn't be no, the woman take care of all the babies. You get in as a man and grab a couple. You help make them. It was all good when she was laying back or however you got down. But now they're here. But now you here. Now they're here. And that's on you, baby. Now you over here talking to the brothers. And the wife over there, like, got both of them. Just, and they crying. And the other one running around, kicking stuff, going to pee bags, knocking stuff over, just doing stuff. Behind the podium, opening up like, what are y'all doing? And the husband just looking and talking. No. I learned that any good man, you step in. That's what a husband. Now, if you're not willing to do that, then I wouldn't suggest you get married. Because it's a team effort. We as black men have failed our women. We haven't had your back. We haven't held it down like we promised. Now, it's time for us to pick up the baton and get back in the race. Now, I'm not saying this to put down my brothers, because we got some good brothers in here. But I, like myself and my brother here, my mom did an exceptional job with us, having no man in the house. But it ain't nothing like having a man in the house to show you what you need to do. It took me years to realize that when you are a man, you need to have yourself established. Get you a home. You thinking about being someone's husband? Get you a home. It ain't got to be big right away. Get you a little apartment. Because I'm going to tell you, a woman respects you when you got your own established. I've learned that. You don't move in with her. And you darn sure don't let her move in with you without you being married. See, that's the problem in Israel. We're playing house. Don't expect the woman to do wifely duties if you're not willing to make her a wife. And then don't expect the husband to do husbandly duties if you are not willing to be a wife. Because it's twofold. So are you willing to institute Yah and let Yah be the helm of your ship? That's one thing. Then next, let's look at another verse. Let's look at verse 32, same chapter. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 32. It says, ye shall observe to do therefore all Yah, your Elohim, hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, check this out. Are you, as a husband, willing to stand your ground when it comes to instituting Yah's laws? Example. Spirit comes over wifey, as the spirit came over Job's wife. And she said, you know what? I know it's the Sabbath, but can we go to the cookout? Because grandma ain't going to be around long. She's 99 years old. Any day now she can go. Are you strong enough to say, no, we going to worship? Are you willing to deal with the fact that she may not even speak to you for the rest of the day? She might even withhold the cookie. Are you strong enough to deal with that? Now, these may be simplistic questions, but these are simplistic issues that can destroy a home. Because if my backbone ain't strong enough to stand with Yah, then how can I stand against my enemy? Are you willing to do that as a man? Are you willing to tell her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaking? You do. You my wife. You don't withhold nothing from me. And you stand your ground with Yah. And you let Yah work on that spirit. Or are you going to be that man that's like, okay. Okay, they can go to the cookout. You white. She 99 years old. She going to die one day. Come on, kids. You're going to go to the cookout. We don't eat no pork, though. Giving in. And then as a wife, are you willing to be strong?
Are you willing to be strong and be like, what was his name? Was it Nabal? Are you willing to be a strong wife like that? You willing to be an Abigail? Are you willing to do that? Knowing your husband's name is a fool. Knowing your husband is a fool. Are you willing to stand with Yah? Or are you going to say, okay, honey, we ain't got to keep the Sabbath. I won't go to Sabbath class. And some people ask me, why you do voices when you're teaching? Because that's how foolish we sound when we walk away from Yah. Now, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Now, this is the woman willing to do this in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, let me share something with you. It says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And if you're not familiar with this, this is where Adam and Eve had ate the fruit, and their eyes were open, and they saw that they were naked. So they sued them fig leaves. So for their disobedience, Yah put a curse on them. And in 16 it says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. And he shall rule over thee. Who is he talking to in this verse? He's talking to the woman. He ain't even talking to you men. He ain't talking to us. And when it talks about desire, when I studied that, that's dealing with physical intimacy desire. That ain't dealing with if you like wings, she got to like wings. Or you want to watch the game, you should watch the game with me because I'm the man. No. That was her commandment that was given or her punishment that was given. But nonetheless, as a woman coming up to being a wife, are you willing to allow your husband to rule over you? And what I mean by that is in righteousness. Are you willing for that? Are you willing for sometimes for him to say no? And you may be used to hearing yes all the time. Are you willing to do that? Now, I know, once again, these may be simplistic questions, but these questions or these situations is what's breaking up families. Something as simple as this. And then if you marry a fool, knowing he a fool, then that's your fault. If you met him on the couch and you marry him and he's still on that same couch, that was on you. You chose that man. So that was one thing. And then here's the thing here with the man. And that was the woman. I know that's a big thing. That's not the only thing, but that's a big thing. Letting someone rule over you. Because a lot of our women have had to run households on their own. And you've done a heck of a job. You black women are strong. Y'all are strong. I mean it. There's none on the earth like you. Don't ever feel inferior. You're strong, and I'm blessed, and my brother blessed. A lot of us are blessed to even have you as wives, mothers, sisters, cousins, however the case may be. It's an honor, because what happened was Yah made you from us. But does that make me over-dominant to you? No, it doesn't. What that means is we connected. When you get married, you're doing more than just marrying this woman. You're connecting the rib. You're completing yourself as a man. When you're single, you're not really complete. But when you find that wife, and the scriptures say a man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Well, I'm going to say a man that findeth a righteous wife findeth a good thing. Because a lot of women out here, they be easy wives, because marriage nowadays is trending. It's not made spiritual, it's trending. It's something to do. It's like a hairstyle or Jordans. We treat marriage like Jordans. This month I'm all in, but as soon as the new ones come out, I put them in the closets, stand in line for the new ones. And that's how we do marriage.
marriages not lasting a year. Marriages not even making it to a decade. How I look debating about marriage with somebody who's been married for 5 decades. I need to sit and listen. What you do? How you wake up to this face every day? Same toast. Same Kool-Aid. And the wisdom that I got from it is every day you add something new to it to keep it fresh. Ain't nothing wrong with keeping it fresh. I'm going to throw out there, you married. Role play. Whatever you need to keep that marriage strong. You want to be the Centurion warrior and her the princess? Get your outfit. You understand? You want to be Tarzan? You know what I'm saying? And she be, you know what I'm saying, not Jane, but, you know, she could be who she is. You know, swing from the chandelier. And keep that marriage fresh. Keep it fresh. No divorcing. Y'all say he hates putting away. He hates putting away. He doesn't like it. He gives us a blueprint to do it, which we are willing to go over quickly. But he don't like it. A marriage, we don't get married to divorce. We get married to build. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 5. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 5, let's look at verse 18. Starting at verse 18. Are you, as the man, willing to do this? It says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Now, let me say this. I'm not against plural marriage. I'm not against it. But however, if you ain't even made the first wife happy, what you gonna do? Who said that? Say that. Say that. What you gonna do with the second? So now you got two miserable women in the house. Miserable. And talk about a woman bringing the house down. Miserable. You don't believe me? Study Proverbs. Solomon had issues with women. He talks about how bitter they can be. But let her rejoice with the wife of your youth. Rejoice with her. Understand that one day, that youthfulness is going to fade, but it should never take away from her beauty. Youth is a moment. Beauty can last forever. That's what you build on before you get sexual, before you want to start getting into the bed and doing all this. And because most women say, well, how do I know that this man is going to be a good man? Well, let me give you the key to how you're going to know he a good man. When he care more about how you look in the eyes of him than under him. That's how you know you got a good man. When that man say, I'm going to tell you, and my wife, it was difficult. It wasn't easy. She's a temptress. Smooth words. Because she a poet. Smooth words. Let thy lips touch your lips. Let thy skin feel thy skin. Touch thy chocolateness of skin. Rub me with your essence of skin. And you know, being a man is weak, you know, when you got that moment of vulnerability. But I told my wife this, and this is not anything that I boasted I did special. It's what Yah instilled in me. I told her, I said, if I was to have intimacy with you before marriage, you would look at me like a hypocrite every time I talk about how great Yah is. Because you will say, if your father's so great, then how was I able to get you to sin? Ain't nothing like when your woman looks at you and she got respect for you. Because when that woman loses respect for you, and I'm not dealing with the elders, so if I'm wrong or anything, elders, you can correct me on that. But when a woman is, when she respects you, I asked a question. I said, would you rather be a man that's feared or respected in your house? I'd rather you respect me. Because what do you do to that which you fear? You wait for a moment of vulnerability and you take it out. But when you respect me, You may be mad at my decision, but you're going to walk with me because of respect. Because of respect. So, in verse 19, this is my favorite part. It says, let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy, smile. When you see that woman, you let her breast satisfy thee at all times. Yes, don't get mingled up with a strange bosom, a woman's bosom. Don't do it. Smile in your face. Put them all on you. And you fall victim. Your wife. That's your wife. And I'm want us to understand the importance of it. Because these are things I had to learn as a man. I'm 44. Am I 44, baby? 44. I'm 44 years old. And it took me a minute to realize what it was to be a man. And I have no problem admitting that. No matter how deep it might make me look, y'all still made me a minister. And I share my faults. Sometimes I might share too many. But so what? I'm not perfect. That's why I said all I am is a minister. That's what I am. I'm a teacher. But let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why, in verse 20, wilt thou, why, it says, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? Is that talking about a woman of another nation? No, it's not. It's talking about some woman that's not even part of your fold, your family. She's strange. She's something that's not of your family. This ain't your wife. But a lot of us will fall victim to that, especially with, are we willing to keep this in mind when we have issues in our home? Our wife may not pay us any attention. She may shut down the cookie factory. She may shut it down because she's dealing with something. Are we willing to be strong to still be there? These are things you should think about. But, of course, as Israel does, I know what they're going to do. They're going to go in one ear and out the other. Sometimes it takes someone else to be up here. That's fine. At least you can't say I didn't tell you. Because I'm sharing my testimony on what I went through. Two marriages. I was not perfect in them. My wives had their faults, but I don't focus on their faults necessarily because I was the man of that house. I was henpecked. I'm telling you like it is. I was. Key word was. Until I understood that when you walk with Yah, you got all the strength in the world. And if you a man, that's who you need to run your household. Who sets the solidarity in the home? All these brothers in here, don't nobody know? Nope. There you go. Yah sets the solidarity in the home. And let me tell you something. Because if a man sets the solidarity in the home, it'll be broken. Because we're imperfect. But who isn't? Yah. When we let Yah set the solidarity in the home, if the man follows suit, see, our jobs as leaders is to institute the guidelines, the rules, the stipulations that Yah has established. That's our job. That's our duty. That's why when the household folds, the man is looked at, it's your fault. Because I put you in this position. See, brothers, we got to want to lead more than just in the bed. We got to want to lead a house. And if we're not willing or strong enough to lead a house, then don't think about getting married. If you're going to leave all the decision-making in the hands of the wife, then don't think about getting married if you don't have confidence in yourself. I don't want to go to battle with nobody who don't have confidence. I'm on the battlefield with a brother, and he talking, whispering to me, they really big. Man, look at them. They fast. man, I'm like, shut up, man. I'm already shaking a little bit because this giant's coming this way. And you whispering to me, I know, but, man, look at the size of his feet. Could you imagine? What if he step on us? Oh, man. You know, you look at him like, you know, well, go home and make cookies. Say, go home and be with the wives if you weak. Not saying the wives are weak, but go home and be with them. Because when you go to war, you want somebody with confidence. Why do you think the brother wanted, that's it, brother. Yeah, man, when you walk into battle, you want somebody there with you that has the same mindset as you, that's strong. Turn to the book of Genesis 18. Another thing, too, is do not, I repeat, do not, if you're looking to get married, do not live together before you get married. Don't do it. Don't. Number one, you got too many temptations. You got too many things that's there that blinds you. Don't do it. You establish your house. Because you got to establish something for your wife to come home to. And I'm not saying this to belittle the woman, but I need you women to understand this as well. In order for a man to be a man, you got to let him be a man. Let him do his job as a man. I understand that you don't carry the mic for a long time. But if you got a man and you don't trust him to hold the mic, then don't marry him until you do trust him. Because I'm going to tell you, in the courting process, the first months or whatever is lovely, isn't it? He's telling you everything you want to hear. I've never met a woman like you. You are such a strong black woman. Oh, I love a little spice in my relationship. Talk back to me. Oh, I just love it. And then what happens in the relationship is the man gets a little comfortable. So then what happens? Your spiciness is an irritant now. You always got to have an answer. You always got to talk back. Dang, you talk too much. And now you still want to marry this individual who talks to you like you a dog. And then you expect them to change because they said, I do. Standing in front of the minister don't change that individual unless that individual is ready to be changed. In the book of Psalms, it says, well, there's no change, there's no fear. So unless that man is willing to change, just because you got on nice outfits, when you leave the place where you get married, if he was a bum when you married him, then he's going to be a bum after the fact. Now, people do change, but if you ain't willing to wait for that change, think before you marry. Just like we should think before we speak, think before you marry. In the book of Genesis chapter 18, let's look at verse number 18. It says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Yah to do justice and judgment, that Yah may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Now, sisters, when you're looking at this brother, and once again, these are just suggestions. When you're looking at this brother, do you see Abraham in his walk? It may not be perfect. He slipped, but do you see him getting back up when he slipped? Or do you see him when he slipped, he stay down? Because if you stay down when you slip, then your shoulders ain't strong enough to hold a house. You're going to slip 7 times. Just man falleth what? 7 times, and he does what? Rise up again. But what the wicked do? And they stay down. They stay down. So when you're looking for this man, do you see that in him? Do you see that? Turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. And like I said, I'm not going to be up here long. I got a few scriptures, just a few more, if I may. In Proverbs chapter 4, and it says in verse 26, is this man willing to do this? Ponder the path of his feet and let all his ways be established. Is he willing to ponder his walk? Ponder, think, meditate on every step. Is this man willing to calculate every moment of movement, or is he just the type of fool that just go with the flow? A man or woman given to change. That's an abomination. Or is this man going to stand strong with the Most High? These are traits you look for. Same with the sister. Those are traits you look for. Proverbs 4 and verse 26. Let's look at something else. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 24 real quick, please. And for those that may have just came in, I'm just talking about marriage and just pointing out a few things that help me have some understanding on some things. In Deuteronomy 24 and verse 5, is this a commandment from Yah? It is hot. Man, it is hot up here. Whoa. In verse 5, it says, when a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. Now, why is he cheering up his wife? If she's coming from her father's house, that's what she's used to coming. That's what she's used to. Now, how many of us as men are able to do this? Or is this just a suggestion? This is one of the moments of stop pointing fingers, talking about you righteous. This is a commandment from the Creator. He tells us as men to take off a year and cheer up your wife. No work, no business. Take off that whole year. Take off that whole year. Now, is that something that we can do here in captivity? Yes or no? If you do what, sister? Prepare for it. Key word, prepare. That's right. This is a law. Most of us as men have failed this. This is a commandment. Now, is there anyone that would like to show differently that this isn't a commandment and that this is just a suggestion? I know I failed this. I didn't take off a year. Heck, what's the most on a honeymoon? I think most of us, the longest is like, what, 2 weeks maybe? A week, yep, a week. Some a weekend. Some go to work the next day. But this is a law. And a lot of us, is this something that we should atone for because we didn't do it? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, sir. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 5. Yes, sir. Yes, most of us have. Now, there are some that can do that. But this is a commandment from the Creator. And I realized something in meditating on this, why that happened. For one, the couple, they didn't live together. They didn't live together. So you had to cheer up your wife. Within that course of the year, you might have had a child. So now you're able as the man to bond with that child and your wife. You're able to grow closer. You're able to institute things. You're able to become a stronger unit. See, when I looked at this, it was a lot deeper than just being at home. But if you're with somebody you can't stand being around for 2 days, that's a problem. That's a problem. And when I saw this, and believe you me, when I saw this, I said, Brother Michael, you failed. You got to atone for this, brother. It's too late for me to try to go back and do it now, because it says when you take a new wife. Now, does this apply if a man gets a second wife? Yes, it does. That's a new wife. That's right. So you take a second wife, guess what? That's another year you got to take up because you got to cheer her up. For the sake of time, I just want to share one more scripture with you. And I thank you for your patience. And if there are any questions, I take a few minutes for questions. Do I got enough time, brother? Or do I need this? How am I looking on time, brother? Okay. Yes, sir. Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise Yah. Hallelujah. This is a good lesson, brother. I'm taking my notes and praise Yahweh the Most High. I put this in your mouth to speak. Now, this law that you just read. Now, how does that apply when dealing with the fourth commandment, where the Most High said, "Work 6 days and rest the seventh day." Now, within that year of not being charged with business, mm-hmm. Now, is there still work that should be done where a man has for his household? Like, I'm just trying to get
mm-hmm.
get some understanding on it. Like,
yeah.
How does that apply? You're taking off for 4 years,
mm-hmm.
but you still supposed to, by command, go forth and provide for your household and work 6 days. So
good.
How does that?
That's a good question, brother. Well, let me ask this question. Are there any addendums to Yah's laws? You sure there's no addendums to his law? You can take off a year and still keep the Sabbath. As my sister said, because the whole thing about marriage is, and the thing that kind of gets that I did, and I'll speak on me, was that I didn't prepare to be a husband. I prepare for the moment, but not for the lifestyle. That's what I did. I spent more time preparing for the moment than the life. So then when the moment was over and I'm faced with life, I didn't know how to handle it. That made me weak as a man. Was I still bound to do this? Yes, I was supposed to do this. When studying, I didn't see where this had any geographical location on it, like sacrifices. Possible to do. This is possible to do. Because a lot of times what we do as men, and I'm not saying all men, but sometimes what we do as men, we focus on, we just basically, most of us as men, we don't really focus on the long term. Because this is a law that a lot of us have read and kind of just brushed it off. But if this book here, if we're saying that this book is the truth and it has the truth in it, is this not part of the book? Is there an addendum to this? I ask that question. Does Yah have any addendums to his law? No, he doesn't. This isn't the Quran. In the book of Surah 4, when it talks about the dietary law, In the Quran, it talks about you shouldn't eat swine, don't eat anything torn by beast or worshipped over by strange deity unless you're hungry. Do you hear that word here? We serve an Elohim that if I say it's black, it's black. And if you call it any other color, then you wicked. That's the kind of Elohim we serve. We serve an Elohim that means what he says and says what he means. You know what gets us in trouble? Is when we want to add to what he said. When we want to put in our own little flair. We taking salt. We doing that to the scriptures. No, he's not liberal. He's merciful though. Don't get it twisted, people. Mercy and liberal are two totally different things, and I'm glad you said that, sister, because you're absolutely right. Yahweh ain't no politician. When are we going to stop treating him like he's running for office? Who said that? That's right, my brother. He already in office. We don't even recognize he in office because we so busy trying to put somebody inferior over us. But the Almighty, when he say, you take off a year as a man, that's exactly what he means. Yes, my elder. Yes, sir, elder.
When you first open up, you asked a couple questions.
Yes, sir.
But I want to let Israel know there are some good women of Zion that's fine, good looking, and serve Yah. And I got one.
Player,
so you asked the question, what you searching for? Or what do you need to be looking for? I am going to look for a good looking woman because I want to wake up something that tasteful. But I also want to look at a woman that's going to serve Yah and be humble. So we do have some beautiful women in Zion that cover all of those few items.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's real talk, and that's exactly what I said in the beginning. You don't want no mud ducks. We understand that. We don't want no mud ducks. But what we do is we let beauty be the deciding factor on whether or not that's gonna be a good woman or not. Now ain't no wrong with having something tasty. Let me tell you something right now. You ain't gonna wanna walk down the street with nobody look just as masculine as you. No, you don't want that. That make you look sweet. But what I'm gonna say to you is that, and my brother said, and my elder was right on the point, and I hope y'all hear this, that beauty, there's some beautiful sisters in Zion. I'm going to tell y'all something. I wouldn't trade y'all for nothing. Do y'all know that other nations mimic you? I work in a place where all you see is the other nations, the Gentiles, wanting to be like you. And then for every 5 that I see come in that want to look like you is another 10 I see one that look like them. Our women were born with hips. Our women were born to be full figures. There's nothing wrong with a little meat on the bone. It's country boys. We love that. Boys like sticks. Men like women. We want a woman. Dang on it. You understand me? And I'm glad my elder said that. You absolutely right. Ain't nothing like waking up to, that's why when it talks about that threefold cord, ain't nothing like waking up to a woman that's yours. She looks you, like you. She's part of you. She's beautiful. Beautiful. Because if you can find you, when you find you a daughter of Zion, you done hit the ticket. You done hit the ticket. Ain't no nation like Yah's nation. How am I looking on time? Am I okay? Okay. Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I want to thank you for your attention and your patience. Praise the mighty Yah. And everything that I said, I was sharing a piece of me. Because I went through it. It took a while for me to grow. But I praise Yah that I did. And I'm very blessed. So giving all glory and praise to the mighty Yah, thank you once again.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Praise the mighty Yah. This beautiful teaching by our brother, Minister Michael. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. And before you sit down, I'm going to now bring up our
Senior Moray of the House of Israel of Cincinnati, who's been teaching the Word of the Most High for nearly 30 years. He is also the co-founder of the Restoration of the Sacred Laws of the Most High Conference that is held 3 times a year throughout various cities in the United States, founded by Moray Elisha Yisrael, his mentor and teacher. He is also the host of the radio blog broadcast that airs 6 days throughout the week, Nothing But the Truth. He is a teacher of many teachers of the Word of the Most High. And most importantly, he is the servant of Yahweh, our Elohim. So without further ado, let me bring up our Moray, Ishaya ben Yisrael. Hallelujah.
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 Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty
Yah. Yah is righteous.
Yah is
holy.
Yah is holy.
Let Yahweh be magnified.
Let Yahweh be magnified.
You may be seated in Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Once again, give it up for our brother, our minister, Michael. Praise the mighty Yah. Hallelujah. We cannot hear enough about, you just can't hear it enough. And there's so many things to cover when it comes to marriage that you just can't do it in one Sabbath, 1 hour, 2 hours. It's just too many things and too many questions. All they had to do is just say, is there any questions on marriage? And then the whole Sabbath would have been taken up. Because it is a lot of questions on it. And the most beautiful thing he brought out was the fact that marriage is really forever. It's a covenant. And, you know, a covenant is an oath. And it's an oath that this part of the oath, a lot of people don't, they really don't understand. And I'll show you this one scripture about this oath, this covenant. And you'll read about it in one place in the book of Jeremiah 34. In the book of Jeremiah 34, see if you understand this thing here. Start at the 17th verse, Jeremiah 34 and 17. It reads,
therefore, thus saith Yahweh, you have not hearkened unto me and proclaimed liberty, and everyone to his brother, and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith Yah. To the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine, and I will make you to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth.
And of course, this is where we are today. Go ahead.
And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant, which they have made before me.
And they made a covenant before me, and we know this covenant was at Horeb, Mount Sinai, when the Creator spoke to us his words and went to his minister, Moshe, and Moshe went to the